want you to understand this, that he stayed with his disciples for 40 days after he'd resurrected in order to talk to them about the kingdom of God.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. This is Joshua Hollick here with Straight Talk Radio. So excited about today's message. Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church is going to be bringing you part two of a message called Life-Changing People. And this is the first part of a series out of the book of Acts called AD. And this is all about really what did it look like when Jesus left the Holy Spirit to the church? What did it look like to be a believer from the very beginning? And so we're looking at the message, the life-giving message, and the power and the mission. And if you are thinking about what does it mean to be a follower of Christ, this is a perfect message for you to encourage you today. And I want to draw your attention. If you haven't yet downloaded our Straight Talk app, you can listen to this message. You can listen to any message in the series. And we have so many, about 30 different series are ready, downloaded, and ready for you to listen to for free. And you can download that app at PastorMarkJobe.com. PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. We would love to hear from you. There's resources and tools there to equip you and empower you. And today, as you get ready for this message, I just want to pray for you. Father, ask in the name of Jesus that as we listen to your life-giving word, that we would be inspired, that the issues that hold us back, the barriers and the barricades in front of us, would dissipate as we take steps in to the direction of the mission you've given us with the Spirit of God for the good of the world and the glory of God. I pray for every listener today that you would encourage and motivate and move us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get ready for the word.
As Jesus is preparing these people, verse 1 of Acts chapter 1, he says, in my former book, Theophilus, it's Luke talking to Theophilus. He's writing to a guy describing the events of the church. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. So I want you to see a couple of things here. That Jesus gave convincing proof that he was alive. He selected a group of people and he said, I'm preparing you for the mission that I've called you to. Now, I want you to understand this, that he stayed with his disciples for 40 days after he'd resurrected in order to talk to them about the kingdom of God. See, our message that we preach, that we as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ preach, is a message of the kingdom. And I want to explain that to you because there's a lot of, when I say the kingdom, some of you may just not have any idea exactly what that means, but it was important enough for Jesus to talk about the kingdom for 40 days. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, Jesus taught us to pray. Some of you, when you were very small, learned this prayer. Some of you, since you were 4 years old and since you could talk, you've been praying a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, but you don't really always understand what you're praying. Jesus said, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven. The first thing he tells us to pray is, come on, you know it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This isn't just a generic prayer. This is Jesus telling us to pray for the coming of the kingdom of God. You pray it every time you pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the kingdom of God? Has the kingdom of God come? Is the kingdom of God coming? It's part of the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, but how do we know if the kingdom of God is here or the kingdom of God hasn't come? In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, he says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Philip preached about the kingdom of God and people got baptized. You see, the kingdom of God, when you preach about the kingdom of God is about the rule and reign of Christ. Now, I could get in a whole long theological explanation of the kingdom of God, but let me just summarize it for you. There is a kingdom that is coming, but there's a kingdom that is here already. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. The kingdom of God came to earth when Jesus came and began to do the works of the king, the rule and reign of Christ. Jesus said, when you see demons cast out by my finger, the kingdom of God is among you. There is a kingdom that's coming. We don't live in that kingdom yet, because that kingdom will be a perfect place. Justice, peace, no suffering, no tears. It's where God rules in a perfect way in his kingdom. We are approaching that kingdom. One day that kingdom, we will step into that kingdom, the perfect rule and reign of Christ. But now we don't live in a perfect world. How many of you know that? But we live in a place where the kingdom of God is already manifest in a spiritual way. So the kingdom of God is among us. What is it? It's a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. Every time someone comes to Christ, receives the Lord, and gets baptized, you know what the Bible says? You've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. There's a kingdom advance that happens. When Jesus was talking about John the Baptizer, he says the kingdom of God, moving forcefully, that it suffers violence and the violent take it by force, that there's a clash of a kingdom. There's a spiritual realm that's dark and a spiritual realm that's light. We are carriers of the kingdom of God inside of us. Every time God rules, we carry it. When a husband steps up to let Jesus Christ be Lord of their life and starts loving his wife and raising their children, he has brought the kingdom of God to his household. When someone hears the good news of Jesus Christ and bows their knee and says, yes, I submit my life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, they have just brought the kingdom of God to their life. Now, the kingdom of darkness is out here. Violence, greed, violations, bigotry exist in our world. There's deep darkness that exists in our world, but there's also the kingdom of God that exists in our world. The church, we the people, are carriers of the kingdom of God. Wherever we go, we carry the presence of God. When you come to Christ, you enter into the kingdom of God by surrendering yourself to him and saying, now you are Lord of my life, King of my life. I no longer operate by the way I used to live. Now my life belongs to you, me, to you, God. I run my life according to your ways. You become a part of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is a culture. Do you know that when you start living kingdom culture, you're going to clash with the culture that's around you that's not kingdom culture? You start living for Jesus and the culture of darkness will clash with the culture of light. You're going to talk different, walk different, think different, believe different. The world will not fully understand who you are. Like this brother said, I thought all Christians were weird. You know why? Because Christians walk in kingdom of God culture. And when you're in darkness, you look at the light and you say, I don't understand the light. It's strange. Why would someone go to church and read a Bible when they could sleep in and watch the Bears in the afternoon? Seriously. It's kingdom of God. We are the carriers of the kingdom of God, and Jesus explained the kingdom of God to them. So I want you to understand that you're carriers of the kingdom of God. So you have a message, and the message is this. If you want to become a part of the kingdom, you must go through the sacrifice of the king who died on a cross and shed his blood for you. And those people that repent and believe and are baptized are forgiven of their sins and receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the moment you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you become a carrier of God himself. You become a carrier of the kingdom of God inside of you. Your life now belongs to God. And where you go, you take the presence of God. And where you go, you take the kingdom of God. And now you begin to spread the power of the kingdom of God wherever you go. That's the message of the kingdom. There are people here that you're in the kingdom or not of the kingdom. You can come to church and not be a part of the kingdom. Jesus said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will see the kingdom of heaven. But some people talk about God but have never submitted their lives to God. You become a part of the kingdom when you yield yourself to the king and you say, I no longer rule my life. God rules my life. And I operate my life by the rules of the king now. And I become a part of the kingdom of light that is spreading against the kingdom of darkness. I'm talking about what it means to be life-changing people. So that's the message. The message of the kingdom, we are carriers of that message. Secondly, I want you to understand this. Not only are we carriers of the message of the kingdom, but we are life-changing people. Life-changing people have the power of the kingdom as well. Notice what Jesus, what it tells us here in the book of Acts. It says, on one occasion while they were eating, this is in verse 4, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak of. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with what? With the Holy Spirit. So when he met together, they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now this is the second thing. Not only do we have a message, the message is that there's a king and you must submit yourself to the king and start living under the authority of that king, the King Jesus. And we carry the message of the kingdom wherever we go. When I look at the church, by the way, I look at the church as a place, as an outpost of the kingdom of God. Like we're here at 51st and Keeler. We gather together in this place, and I expect that because we're people of the kingdom, that the cultural values of the kingdom start spreading to our neighborhood. What is that? Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the culture. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is made up of righteousness, peace, and joy.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Life-Changing People, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called AD, the Book of Acts. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message and give you some information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the Book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Life-Changing People.
That's why where the people of God is present, there should be a joy that's there because God is there. We should be fighting for peace on our streets because God is here. And righteousness has to do with justice. That's why we don't just gather in an auditorium and talk about God, but we spread the values of the kingdom outside of this auditorium because we are carriers of the kingdom of God. Is anybody with me today? That means if there's violence in the neighborhood, it is our issue because the culture of the kingdom of God is peace. That means if there's friction out there, it is our issue. We don't say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with us. We're just religious people. Are you kidding me? What happens in our community is our issue because we are people of the kingdom of God and we bring the culture of the kingdom of God where we live. That's why I'm not just saying that the church of God is going to lead people to Christ. I want to help change the culture of Chicago and the neighborhoods in which we live, bring the kingdom of God values to the communities that we live. That's the power of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, by the way, this mission is so great, you can't accomplish it on your own. So he says, I want you to wait. Sometimes we have to wait. How many of you know that? You want to do something? God says, wait. Wait for what? He said, I want you to wait because I want you to wait for the gift that my Father promised. John the Baptist baptized you in water, which we do. But there's another baptism that's going to come. And you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of water is a sign of what Jesus has done. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the regenerative force bringing God into our life and empowering us to live what we cannot live on our own. Once you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what he says. Two things will happen. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And secondly, you will be witnesses unto me. Let me tell you something. This is very important for you to understand. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, someone says, well, I'm saved, but I don't have the Holy Spirit. No such animal. You cannot be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that brings salvation to your life. It's the Holy Spirit that regenerates you. Now, you may not be filled with the Spirit. You may not be operating the power of the Holy Spirit. But you cannot be saved without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that saves you. And then it's the Holy Spirit that empowers you. When you have the Holy Spirit, he gives you power. He gives you, first of all, power. Power for what? Power to overcome sin. Power to understand the word. Power to live for Jesus. Power to embrace the crucified life. And power to be a witness. Have you ever felt intimidated by the world around you? Like, whoa, I can't say anything. I don't know what to say. How many of you have ever felt that? I should speak up at work, but what am I going to say? They're all going to turn against me. What if they ask me Bible questions? I'm going to have to speed dial Pastor Mark. No. The Bible says, open up your mouth. And the Holy Spirit will fill you with an authority and answers that you didn't even know you had. Some of you have come to me and told me, you know, I didn't know what to say, and I just started talking, and suddenly I'm saying things like, is that me? I mean, am I saying that? Where'd I come up with that? It just started spewing out of me the word of God and the power of God. And you're like, I didn't know I knew so much. You don't. You didn't know that much. The Holy Spirit is speaking in you and through you and empowering you. He is the helper, the enabler, the paraclete, the one that goes along inside of you. You're just opening up your mouth and he's speaking through you. He's empowering you. He's giving you the boldness that you need that you do not possess on your own. It's the Holy Spirit. So he said, wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then do you remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? There was 120 of them gathered together. And as they waited, then suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon them as tongues of fire. And they all began to speak in different languages, proclaiming the goodness of God. 120 of them spilled out into the streets, and they're all speaking the gospel in languages they had never learned. And suddenly they're speaking languages they have never learned, speaking the gospel to people around them. So it's the equivalent of us gathering together, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you start speaking the gospel in Mandarin, but you've never learned Mandarin, you've never spoke Mandarin, but you're proclaiming that Jesus is Lord in Mandarin, and you know more than Ni Hao. And you're from Durango, Mexico. And you go out into the street and suddenly you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in perfect Polish. Maybe a little bit of a Mexican accent, but perfect Polish. And you don't even know where that came from. Why? It was God saying, open up your mouth. I'm going to fill you. I'm going to speak through you in ways that's called the day of Pentecost, where they proclaim the word of God in languages they had not understood. It was God saying, open up your mouth. Let me speak through you. I'm going to give you power that you never had of your own. I'm going to make you do things that you never thought you could do. You're going to go places and say things and do things and have power that you could never have on your own, because it is the indwelling of the Most High God in your body doing the work of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then lastly, he says in this passage, not only do we have a message, we have power, but we also have a mission. And after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, he says, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from the light. This is the levitating Jesus. Wait for the power that will come upon you called the Holy Spirit. And you will be witnesses in your hometown, in your neighboring towns, in the towns that you don't like, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And as he said that, Jesus suddenly began to levitate. And they watched him. How's he doing that? And he rose until he rose into the clouds. And it says that the disciples just stood there with their mouths open. And an angel basically appeared and said, why are you standing there with your mouths open? This same Jesus that you saw leave will come again the way you saw him go. That's called the second coming of Christ. Jesus one day will return the way he left. He levitated when he left. He'll come in the clouds again, and he will establish his kingdom. But we are living in a period of time between the leaving of Jesus and the coming of Jesus. It's called the church age. We have a mission, a message, and a power to accomplish what he left us to do until he comes again. And listen, the way things are going nowadays, it could be any time that Jesus comes again. So let's be ready for the coming of Christ. And let me just close with this about the message, because I want you to hear it very clear. Jesus said, I want you to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. What's that compared to? It's like, I want you to be witnesses to me in your neighborhood. You say, okay, my neighborhood, I know those people. And Judea. Judea was the next neighborhood over, and they weren't so fond of those people. And then Samaria, they didn't even like the Samaritans. The Samaritans were another race, ethnic group. Yeah, I don't want you just to reach your own. I want you to reach the people that are around your neighbor, and I want you to reach the people that are not like you. Hello. I love that message for Chicago. Chicago's the most polarized city, ethnically divided, racially broken up city, almost in the whole United States of America. And let me tell you this, the gospel cuts through race and ethnic division so that the gospel is for all people of all colors, of all economic backgrounds. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're here saying, well, I just don't like those people, you better start liking them. No, you better start loving them, because that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things I like about this church. Look around you. Go ahead, look around you. Aren't they handsome? Have you noticed that there's people that are not like you? Some people that are not your color. Your hairstyle. The neighborhood you grew up, you say, no, they didn't grow up in my neighborhood, I could tell. Guess what? We like it that way. We want it that way. Oh, no, 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 no. We have to be that way because that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, Son of God, Redeemer of this world.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called AD, the Book of Acts. And tonight was the second half of his message called Life-Changing People. Join us again tomorrow as we start part two, Spiritual Empowerment. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. And on behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow night. Have a great evening, and God bless.